From Santa Monica, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Demonstrating Fundamental Change of Behavior. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
When my mother and father were married, and they were till they died, they didn't act like they were married all the time, but then different strokes for different folks. My dad was a coal miner, and he would come in from mining, and he would be black. Just, you know, a lot of you people who are black, in terms of your skin color, my dad was blacker than your skin color black because he had coal dust dirt all over him. And it was wet and watery, and it really looked terrific. And he'd come in, and my mom would meet him at the door. And my mom was a slick chick. I didn't know that till I got much, much older and knew what slick chicks were. But before that, she was the one who beat me. If we'd had an abuse line, we'd really had a lot of business at our house. But when I look back over it, every time they disciplined me, I deserved it. I'm just thankful that they didn't discipline me for every time that I did deserve it. Because I got away with a lot more than they ever got me. But then they really didn't, because, you know, it was inside. And here I thought, I got away with that. Then one day when I went to go inside to get some strength, I had to deal with me not keeping my word. Oh, God, what a painful thing. I gave me in my word, and I lied. You can live with everybody but a liar, because you can't trust them. If you can't trust, what is there? To trust someone is to love them. And to love them is to be with them. And to be with them is to share with them. I can run this down a long litany. We could be here for a couple days, just one after another. We don't have to. You can go to that place inside of you that knows. I think, what do you call it, the inner counselor? Some of you are going, inner counselor, is that what that was? Huh. I thought it was just my stomach growling. Well, you know, it speaks different languages. But one thing about it, a lot of the things that you people have learned here is not for you. It's for somebody else who hasn't shown up yet. They're going to show up. They're going to come, you're going to hear about it, and you're going to turn around and you're going to have that information just laid out there beautiful, and they're going to say, God bless you, and you're going to feel God blessing you because you had the wit to prepare yourself for a future event that you didn't even know about. You know what I like about being in the physical body here on the planet Earth? You can't go up spiritually without taking somebody else with you. You know what I don't like about it here? Religiously, you can go up by yourself. You don't have to take anybody else with you. Spiritually, we go up, we start to take people with us. Our love, our joy, our children. I've never seen anybody take a car with them. I've been watching for that. Maybe someday they'll have that all figured out. But the places that I've been in the spirit world, if you want to be there, you just be there. Maybe you've ever seen the movie with Peter Sellers called Be There Now? Or is it Be Here Now? Being there. being there. Well, don't forget that. But one thing for sure, don't forget to be here. Because here's where there is going to come from. And if you don't do the here and the stuff that's required of you, when you get there, you're going to wish you'd been here doing it. Oh, this has just got way over my head. Sometimes when I get like this in those philosophical moods, it makes me feel like I'm sitting on a toilet. Yeah, and I just sort of want to flush everything and like, okay, let's start over. But it doesn't seem like it makes any difference one way or another. You are who you are, and there's not going to be much you're going to do about it unless you get in there deep enough to get past the psychology and the ego of the psychology. You got to get past that. And that's hard to do because the ego of the psychology wants jewelry, food, clothing, sex, money, abundance, prosperity, everything and everything and everything and more of that, and it wants it. And then when it gets it, it complains because it can't afford to keep it up. How many of you men in here are married to high-maintenance women? I'd just be willing to bet you that's the first time you've ever heard a speaker ask that question in public. But, you know, there's got to be equal time. Right? Women, how many of you are married to high-maintenance men? You can't force somebody. You're going to raise your hand. I'm not a high-maintenance man. How many of you got just who you were looking for? Isn't that pathetic? You don't have anything to live for. God, you got what you wanted. How many of you are still looking? You don't know what I said you're looking for. You're just still looking. How many of you think tomorrow will appear? How are you going to know that? How are you going to know that? How are you going to know that you know? Am I going too fast? How many in here right now have some sort of pain someplace in your body? Right now, you have some sort of pain someplace in your body. Okay, just keep your hand up because there's more coming on this. 10, if we say it's a 10, that's called get an ambulance and get me to the hospital. All right? A 1 is you're the pain, JR. So we'll just erase 1 out as a courtesy call to me, okay? And I'm not going to show off. Do you know what you're looking at right now? A blank mind. Do you know why I tell you? Because you're going to think I'm going to say something, and I'm not. I'm just going to sit there until it does something all by itself. But while we're waiting for that, how many of you could raise your hand on this when I say, how many of you have trouble that your mind won't leave you alone? Okay? If you like that, raise your hand back up again, that your mind won't leave you alone. See, mine isn't bothering me. I don't even feel embarrassed that I don't have anything to say. Because there's no mind in there that says you should be now doing this or this or this or this. It doesn't work that way. How does it work on me? I'll tell you that. Information drops down in front of me like a sheet of paper, but I can see through it. Just drops down like a sheet of paper. And if I'm looking at somebody and I stare at them a little bit longer than usual, the paper shifts and I see them. Then I get to look at them, I get to think, oh my God, that was really funny when you did that. Yep. And they'll say, what are you laughing at? I say, well, remember when you did da 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 da? They say, yeah, but you weren't there. Say, yeah, but it was still funny. It's still funny. How is it we can do that? Everyone in this room is gifted with the same gifts of the Spirit. Not everyone in this room are accessing the gifts of the Spirit the same way. That's the only difference. I didn't know I couldn't do it. Somebody told you, you can't do that. You believed it. When somebody told me I couldn't do it, I tried it out to see if that was true. And I did it, and I said, well, you couldn't do it. But I didn't know I couldn't do it, so I did it. Did I do it really good? No, we're not talking about excellence, the Verstehung, the German word of perfection. No, when we reach into the heart center, which is about right here, down from your Adam's apple, about 3 inches, and right there is your heart center. And right from that place right there is where you're going to get ticked off. And right from that place right there is where you're going to give your heart to somebody. And right there, from that place right there, you're going to wish you were dead. And right there, from that place right there, you're going to give your life for somebody else because you're going to love them so much. How many of you have children? Right from there is where that child lives. Right from there. You'll do things for your children that you will not do for your spouse. You had children. You thought, oh, this will be fun. We'll have kids. We'll raise kids. Uh-huh. We now know that insanity is inherited. Why? Because the kids are driving the parents crazy. That's circling the room. That'll take just a little bit. That'll take a little bit to get around. You get it? It's inherited, like, you know. If you have to explain it, it's just really not worthwhile. But sometimes it's worth explaining because you can improve upon it for somebody else. And that makes life worthwhile. And Spirit had told me many years ago, there's going to be a university show up. It's going to be a mountain of light. And it's going to happen with you and around you. And I said, oh, no, it ain't. And oh, no, you're wrong. And it isn't going to do it. And I ain't going to be there. And I'm sorry. And you know, and you just listen real careful. And I want an answer right now. And so if you don't answer me right now, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And they didn't answer. And I stopped talking. And people just started gathering around. JR, how do we get this? How do we get this? How do we get this? I said, well, we got to do it right. One thing we got to do, we don't care if it's that it's the best. We just want it right. We want it so everybody has an equal chance to get to it, to get into it, to get involved in it. Give them an opportunity. And we don't care how old or how small or how whatever they are. If they're willing to participate, if they're willing to participate. I know a lot of you have gone to meetings and you've heard people sing and you've gone to movies and you've watched the screen and thought, I could do that. Well, you're not up there doing it, so that is that part. And I used to date a pretty young girl that had a nice voice, and we'd go out to church meetings, and then somebody would be singing a solo. She'd nudge me. She'd say, I ain't sing better than that. Oh, it used to bug me, because why wouldn't she get up? If she can sing better than that, why wouldn't she get up and sing? Because, folks, she couldn't sing better than that. She could just criticize. And she was excellent at it, and that's what I was looking for at the time, so I kept dating her. I didn't know it. That's what I was looking for, but, you know, based upon results, that's the way it was. So we said, this life here is based upon results. What you see, what you do is based upon your effort, and your effort must produce the results so we can see it. And if somebody just tells it to you, and there's no way you can see the results, just get up and start walking. And if somebody goes to con you, you know, they want you to believe something, don't forget to ask the stupid questions. Don't ask smart questions, because they're expecting you to ask smart questions, because that way they'll get you. And you're not going to ask dumb questions, because you don't want them to think you're dumb. You want them to think you're smart. And they want you to think that you're smart and that they're dumb so they can get what they want from you. Now, if you ask the dumb questions on anything, you go down and buy a new car and they say, it's a great car. How many miles per gallon does it get? They go, Say, well, let's see the sticker. Let's see something. You know what they'll look at you? Get out of here. You're ruining my cell. Now, what you're doing is you're taking care of yourself. When you're in a class and you think you know something and you're not sure, raise your hand and risk being the dummy for the group. Just don't scratch your head because you get slivers in your fingers. That's all. You raise your hand. Do not be afraid of life. Do not worry about those anxious feelings. Don't be concerned about how you look or don't look in the eyes of other people. Be concerned about how God is perceiving you and how you're perceiving yourself if you were to be God. You'll get some pretty good answers about how to live your life. Are you going to get perfect answers? This place is not perfect. Well, actually it is perfect, and the problem is we just don't like it that way. So we want to change it. So your jobs, is to let your light so shine that it glorifies God in you, that it glorifies God in the person next to you, that it glorifies our humanity-ness, our humanness. Let's walk out these doors tonight and have people do double takes looking at you like, who are you? I know that God is our God. I don't care whose church you go to, that doesn't bother me at all. Don't go to church, it doesn't bother me. But that one who breathes you and sleeps you and walks you and wakens you and cares for you and gives you opportunity, that one. It may be a male, it may be female, it may be a vapor. I don't care. It just exists and it's real. Because you see, I don't know how to wake up in the morning, but it knows how to wake me up. And I don't know how to go to sleep at night, but it'll sleep me at night. I don't know how to meditate, and it will meditate me. You people may think you know how to breathe, and you can control it. Okay? Raise your hand in the air and don't take another breath, and let's just see how it all works. And you'll find out that you don't know how to breathe, but you're breathing. And whatever that is, this just is inside of us, that is being there, that is us, is all of us. We've got to come to some firm resolutions in our own consciousness, not resolutions for the world. It's going to change. It's already got its destiny set. All I was hoping is that God didn't hit the brakes real fast because we'd go flying. Can you imagine us off in space fighting, you know, for trying to do something out there in space, fighting with each other? Nah, it's not worth it. It's more fun to get married and fight with your spouse. Well, how many of you people that are married are fight with your spouse? Well, they go like this. Like, I raise my hand, but not really very much, you know. Well, we argue. I win though. Well, she wins something. Okay, why'd you bring that question up here, troublemaker? Because life is full of all sorts of variables, and let's just take them as they come. It's not going to come your way. You're lucky if you get the to your next birthday the way you want it. You're going to be really lucky. I have a birthday every day. That way, I'm sure when I get to mine, I will have had the birthday. Every day, every day, I get up and I clean up and I go, happy birthday. Sometimes I forget who I am, but then I got a little note up there. In fact, I have two. Should I tell you the one that I really like? I can trust my basic self to give me honest information. And I have that pasted on my mirror. I have a few of them that I put around. It's like going to London and you're getting ready to cross the street. And how many of you have ever been in London? Right? You don't go like this and then step out in the street. You don't go like this and step out in the street. You go like this. And then you get dizzy and you stumble across the street. Or you find out who's going, who you think looks like they belong there. And you join them till you get on the other side of the street. What this boils down to is have fun. Even in the midst of your argument and you're really going to rip up your partner, have fun. Have you ever thought of, I'm going to just yank your head off and throw it back at you? Listen, man, I'll tell you something. If you really want to if you really want to have a happy, happy, happy life, you didn't think I could do it, did you? But I rehearsed it. Don't argue with your wife. She will be right 99% of the time. The other 1% of the time, you will be wrong. So just go along with the plan. She's going to make you think it's your plan. She's got all sorts of things that's just genetically inherited since somebody back there did something to somebody, and then here we are today. But every time I get lost in a seminar, and I do that often because I get lost, I look around to see who's going to have my information. And I rarely look at a guy to remember what's going on because they're sitting there as dumb as I am. I look around at the women because they'll go like, they'll clue me in. If I get off course, they'll go. Just slight body talk. So when I'm doing a seminar or a lecture, I usually find 4 or 5 people in different quadrants, and I watch them. And those, I talk. The rest of you are just listening. I'm talking to 4 or 5 people, that's all. It doesn't matter how many are in the room. And if one of them goes like this, I stop and hesitate and go back and say, I think I forgot something. And I start running my litany of how I don't remember things. And they sit there and they go, oh. until I can remember it. Then I come back again. You think I don't do that? You're nuts. I do that. I've seen a lot of men do that. I've seen women do that too. If I were to reincarnate back again, I think I'd like to come back as a hermaphrodite. I want 50-50. Be smart and know it. Men think they're smart. Women know they're smart. They just can't convince men that they're smart until they get in the conversation. I have a brother, and his wife is a walking encyclopedia of everything that happened in existence. And I used to go over to their house on Christmas and would set up the toys Christmas Eve for what was going on. Of course, he was an engineer and I was a psychology major, and together we got along real well together. And he and I would sit and we'd be there for an hour or two putting kids' puzzles together and wood cabins and erector sets and all this. And we'd be reading the directions and following them and putting them down. And she'd be sitting in a chair watching this. And she, one day, it was the last time I went there, by the way. It was getting like 1 o'clock in the morning. She says, "I'm getting sleepy." And I said, "Well, why don't you go to bed?" She says, "Well, when you fools finish with that, I will." And I said, "Oh, well, you think this is easy?" She says, "Oh, yeah." She just pushed us aside and put that thing together in about 3 minutes. And I turned around and I said, "Good night." And I got up and went home. So when you run out of things to do and you run out of things to say, you say, "Good night and thank you," and then you go home. Beirut Be'Shem.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirut Be'Shem, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.